I was kind of looking there, and it's amazing what you see. There's these strings hanging from the ceiling over here that I've never ever seen before. Now, I haven't been in that room a lot, and being a curious guy, I was kind of wondering what they were for. But it also brought something else to mind when I was looking at that. They look like they've been there for a while. And I was thinking about how when a barrier is removed that you can see. And that's really the scriptural message that God makes clear, that when the veil of sin is removed, you can see the glory of the Lord. And that's a very failing example here of strings compared to the glory of the Lord. But it's just how my mind works. I saw that and I was like, wow, I bet those have been there for a long time and I never even noticed them before. And I also realized that this room, I used to think, was a lot bigger. When this wall was here, this room seemed a lot bigger. But man, like when I broke the doorway this morning, man, I felt like we walked into a postage stamp. Like that was the size of it. It is amazing to me. Just, it looks a lot different. Anyway, I digress. A couple things kind of to start out. I want to echo one of the things that Mr. Bree said. Mr. Wilson's message this morning was something that was important to me too, man. It's important for us to be reminded of who we are and how important that love is for one another, for the lost and for each other. And, you know, we have such a great example in Christ Jesus that He just hit the mark every time. You know, He always demonstrated those things perfectly. Always had the right response and did things the right way. And what a great example we have in that. And that was just a great message this morning and just a good reminder. And then when we sang me that song, "Oh, They Tell Me of a Day," man, I wished Mark Donahue had been playing the piano tonight. That song just has so much more zip when he's playing it, and the extra notes that he adds in there to just fill it out. Just was an encouraging thing. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. And read verse 4. "You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world." I started preaching a series of messages through the 4:4s of the New Testament, and this was the kind of the verse that led that off for me. And the text we're going to look at is actually tonight in Galatians chapter 4. So you can go ahead and turn there, but that verse in 1 John 4:4, "About greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world," I've said it many times and I'll say it again. It's one of those verses I keep in my hip pocket. Just one of those things that I use to remind myself. When you're out there in the face of things, man, that God's on my side. Actually, better said, I'm on God's side. He's with me, and I'm with Him. Galatians chapter 4, I'm going to read the first 7 verses for our text tonight. "Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by the father. So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." Let's pray. Great, awesome Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before You tonight as Your children. Lord, we honor You as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, we're just so thankful that the example that we have in Christ Jesus, our King, that we can look to Him. We can see His character and His love so clearly in Your Scriptures, that that's where it's revealed to us. Lord, I'm thankful to have this opportunity to address your body here in Billings tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll help me to have clarity of speech and communicate clearly. Lord, again, I'm so appreciative for your love, your grace, and your mercy. It's in the name of Christ Jesus, our King, we pray. Amen. Galatians 4. The way this starts out here, this just feels really weird. I don't know whether to stand back here or get out. Man, how'd you do it, Luke? What do you think? I might end up sitting or something. I don't know. This is weird. Sorry. Galatians 4, man, we got a picture here given of Jesus coming in the fullness of time. We also have a picture of an adoption. And I kind of want to key in on a couple of those things tonight. When I was reading through this and just the first time it hit, immediately my mind went to 1 Corinthians 15. And let's turn there real quick. I'll let you guys in on my thoughts and then why it went to my mind and then kind of go over some things regarding that. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning verse 1. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. The Apostle Paul here, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, talks about this gospel and he calls it as of first importance. And really, you know, this message is about Jesus. We do what we do because of Jesus. We have salvation because of Jesus. That's what this thing is about. Tonight, this message is not going to be anything that's going to... You're going to have to be a real deep thinker to work your way through. I really want to talk about Jesus tonight. And I kind of titled this message, The Greatest Story Ever Told. And that's the story of Jesus. You know, you watch movies and things like that, and the Hollywood puts all these special effects into place, and you see amazing things happen on a movie screen. But they really don't mean anything. The greatest story ever told is the story of Jesus, because that changes men's eternities. That's the greatest story ever. Jesus came into this world in the humblest of circumstances. You know, there was a home birth out of town in a manger. That's how He was born. His life, we don't have a lot of details when he was young. Just a few points along the way. Here's what we know. He was born just like we were. He endured the same things that we endured. You know, his mom changed his diapers, whatever form that was that they had back then, just like our mom changed ours. He lived a perfect life. That scripture records that for us all the way through. He hit the mark every single time. Never misspoke. Endured those things. He worked tirelessly. Labored. You know, that's one of the things that I look at when I read through the Gospels and I see Jesus' interaction with people. Man, that guy, he was working all the time. There was always someone that he was working on. He labored. He loved completely. Was self-sacrificial. You know, there's a couple times that some of those apostles start trying to sort out a pecking order on who's going to be the best. You know, gets down there and starts washing their feet. You know, was humble. Always did the right thing for the other person. He died for a cause that was salvation to all. That's what he did this for. You know, he knew what was coming. You know, I was looking through the scriptures this morning in Luke chapter 9, where he's talking about how he knew what was coming. It says he resolutely set his face toward Jerusalem. Man, he knew, and he went. You think about if you knew the way of your death. If it was going to be at the hands of godless men, unjustly. That's the resolution that he had. Knew what it was in front of him. He was undeserving of death. He was perfect. Never sinned against anybody or God. He was raised from the dead, never to die again. See, everything that the Hollywood puts out, all these images and things like that, they can be a distraction to take our mind off the real hero, which is Jesus. You know, today is a day that, I'm sure there's a lot more people gathered around their television sets today than there was last week when Obama gave his State of the Union address. Sure, there is. You know, and there's heroes on the football field, you know, with their number and their name on their back. What have those guys really done? Let's drop that into the scope of eternity. Mr. Peyton Manning is a good quarterback. Set all kinds of records, going to be a Hall of Famer. He's going to have his name etched in stone with a wax bust or something made of him. He's going to go to, I think it's Cleveland, Ohio, where the NFL Hall of Fame is. But unless he repents, his name's not going to go in the Lamb's Book of Life. And who cares? What difference does it make how many records he set in this life? I've had some things that I've had to think about. You know? Maybe I get involved in those conversations talking about how good that football player is, rather than how good our God is. How good Jesus is. Peyton Manning or Russell Wilson will take a sack for the team. But they ain't taking a cross for the whole world. Jesus did. We look at we have conversations about who our favorite superhero is. I'm guilty of this too, man. Jesus doesn't even make that list when we're talking about it. Those other guys are fake, man. Jesus was real. As real as it comes. Oh, and you can't kill him. And there ain't no kryptonite that can stop him either. There's nothing. That's a real hero. Somebody that we really should look up to and admire. And the reward that he got for doing those things is he was exalted to glory and he was given the name above all names. And that's a real hero. That's something that actually matters for eternity. I'm not trying to pick on the NFL or sports tonight, but it's important that we keep first things first and remember those things. It was interesting to me as we were driving down here tonight, how many businesses were closed that are normally open on Sunday night? It's true. There's a number of them in the Heights that are normally open on Sunday night that were closed tonight. That just amazed me. These businesses that are normally open on the Lord's Day because they don't want to miss out on those opportunities, when it really comes right down to it, they knew they weren't going to make any money tonight because maybe they didn't have a liquor license or they didn't have enough big screen TVs, so they knew that they weren't going to get any business, so they just shut their doors to save money. It's just interesting. It just struck me as I was driving by and it's restaurant closed, this closed, that closed, as we're driving by. Maybe they closed for other reasons. maybe. I'm a kind of where there's smoke, there's fire kind of guy in some of that stuff. So this guy did all those things, this Jesus did. And he volunteered to take your place. He volunteered to take my place. He took our wounds. The just for the unjust. The guy that didn't deserve it for the guy that did deserve it. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. He took our stripes. See, there's a big thing going on the last few years. It's called the Hunger Games. You know? Which actually, I think every kid in America should watch the Hunger Games. And I think this is the message they should take from it. This is for you, Mr. Taylor. Don't trust your government. Okay? That's about it. But what the main thrust of this movie is a girl volunteers for the place of her sister. Sound familiar? Jesus volunteered for us. Jesus said, I'll take it instead. While we were yet sinners, enemies, hostile, fighting against him, he took it. This girl volunteered for her sister. Jesus did it while we were sticking the spear in his side. Jesus did it while we were hammering the spikes into his body. Jesus did it while we were putting the crown of thorns on his head and spitting on him and calling him names. Man, that's a real hero. You look at Jesus on the cross when he says, don't hold it against him. Man, don't charge it to him. That's a real hero. Someone that stands up and has character. Not just when he's in the spotlight. The fullness of time. God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. You know, that he redeemed us to recover possession or ownership of by payment of a price or service to regain. That's what redeem means. He did it. Paid it. The full price for every one of us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 that says, him who knew no sin became sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God. Man, he took it all. There's a great message here. This is the real hero. It breaks my heart sometimes that he never gets mentioned in those heroes. Continuing on. That we might receive the adoption of sons. This is something that's actually, I get. My last name should be Gorman. There are two adoptions between the last name I have and the name that I should have been born with. Gorman should have been my last name. You know what I know about the people who bore the last name that I should have been born with? About 20 minutes. My biological grandfather, twice removed, I guess you'd say. Well, he was coming through Chicago when I lived there. And he called me up and said, this is your Grandpa Gorman. I'm going to be at Union Station between this time and this time. If you want to come, I'd like to meet you. So I went and I drove down to Union Station and we had a sandwich and we talked for about 20 minutes. That's all I know of it. That's it. I know they're from somewhere out east. Part of them came west. That's all I know. But it's amazing how much more I know about the adoption that I have through Christ Jesus. See, I'm glad Mike has that jersey on tonight, because we get a better name of our hero. Oh, and he gave us his name too. Son of God. God's Son. We get to bear that. We got something that is really important. Man, I'm thankful for that adoption into Christ Jesus. I'm thankful that God made me His son. You know, the orphan gets a new home and a new name. Oh, and an inheritance eternal. Guess what, guys? There's no red-headed stepchildren in the body of Christ. We're not, man. We're all fellow heirs with Christ Jesus. That's an exciting message. Way more exciting than numbers on a scoreboard. Or who's got what fictional power based on which comic book you've subscribed to. Way more important. Every kid in the orphanage, what's he want? Man, we watch some of those. We don't watch movies about orphans anymore. It doesn't sell. But back in the old days, you'd watch movies about orphans. What'd they want? They wanted a home, didn't they? Oh, they tell me of a home, right? They wanted a home. They wanted to be part of a family. They wanted that more than anything. Guess what? We've been made part of a family. Eternal family. Adoption as sons. He didn't just leave it there. You know, you watch some of those movies about those orphans, and they get brought into that family. And it was pretty hard back in those days. A lot of times the only reason they were adopted is because there's a job that needed to be done. They got treated like slaves. How about our King that adopted us? He doesn't treat us like slaves. See, He even loved first. He extended Himself first. Went out of His way first. In sports, there's a term called the Cinderella story. You know, the team that doesn't make it, that should. Or that shouldn't. Let me think about that now. I got that backwards. The team that shouldn't make it, but does. Thank you, Mr. Simpson. They call that a Cinderella story in the sports world. Man, we're all true Cinderella stories. You look at it. Man, every one of us. There's a lot of reasons why we shouldn't. But praise God, man. We make it. Because of Christ Jesus. There's a great message of that love in the gospel. A great message of it. Man, you got to look for it and see it. And when you do, man, it's awesome. If you've ever felt like you haven't had a family, you understand how important that is. How about if you haven't had a dad that loved you or cared about you? When you got one that does, you really appreciate it. You know, there's sometimes, and Mr. Wilson brought it up this morning about familiarity breeding contempt. Sometimes you hear stuff so much you don't even think about it. But man, how awesome is it? Look at the love that Christ showed for us. Man, He didn't have to. He did willingly, chose to, for each one of us. That's an amazing message. It's something that should be deep-rooted inside of us. I heard somebody preach a message one time. And in that message, he said that we need to make sure that we convert people to Jesus, not to a doctrine of baptism. And I agree with that. Now, I'm not saying that we don't talk about immersion, because that's necessary and that's part of it. But sometimes it's easy to get real clinical. We can turn into Joe Friday. Just the facts, ma'am. Nothing else. You know, there is part of this. This is an amazing story. It's an amazing story. Here's a guy that loves you that shouldn't. Here's a guy that died for me and shouldn't have. He had no reason to. That's an amazing story. And every person that we talk to, guess what? He died for them too. How many of them think about it? Probably not very many. Again, please don't misunderstand. We have to communicate the facts. But man, there needs to be that communication about the love that Jesus demonstrated to us too. And honestly, it starts right from the very beginning in your Bible study. Man, you establish why we should have faith in God. Working on those things. The love of Christ. You know, in life, everybody wants to fit in somewhere. Just one of the things that I've noticed. You know, there's a reason that gangs tear up the streets. Because they want family of some kind. They want a dad. They want to know somebody cares that they're alive. God cares. That's why He sent His Son. Jesus cares. That's why He endured all the things that He endured. You know what? It's easy for us to get trapped in our own time and our own space and think about how bad we have it today and how it was probably so much better in Jesus' day. I don't think so. Let me ask you guys a question. When was the last time you saw a kid possessed by demons throwing himself in the fire? I'm serious, man. Serious. I've never seen anybody that I believe to be demon possessed. Maybe a couple marginally. Could have been. But not, I mean it. When have you seen it? I asked Mr. J. Wilson one time about that. I said, man, that demon possession thing is a hard thing for me. And he says, and he gave me a pretty good answer. He says, you look at a society that is rapidly declining toward immorality, and when they really drop into immorality and worship of Satan, that's when you start having those things. And he told me a little bit about some things that he saw when he was in Africa and things like that. We don't even see that stuff here. That stuff went on all the time in Jesus' ministry. And he was in one location. You think it was easy in his day? Man, it was rough. You think we got it so bad today? People stabbing you in the back and talking and lying. All that stuff goes on. You're out there in the world, the workplace, all those things. Man, the rulers of the world, the rulers of Jerusalem, of the Jews, they wanted to make him king so they could accomplish their purpose. When things they started realizing that wasn't going to work, then they wanted to kill him. Let me ask you guys a question, honestly. When was the last time somebody wanted to kill you? Mark knows of a few, I guess, but but honestly, most of the time, even if somebody wanted to kill me, I probably wouldn't even know about it. Jesus did, didn't he? They're going to throw him off the cliff, man. Man, I'm telling you. Sometimes it's easy to get trapped in this time and space and not look at the things that were endured in there. To think, yeah, well, it was just different. It was a whole lot easier then. It wasn't any easier. Some things may have changed on a certain level, but the heart of man is the same, regardless. I want to back up something I just said. You look in, I believe it's later on in the book Acts. Can't give you the chapter and verse. It wasn't part of my notes. But one of the things that happened when some things repented, they burned all their books of sorcery. Okay? You may not think about that much today. That was probably, I don't know, 1400 and some years before Gutenberg invented movable type. That was a lot of money that they spent there, that were burned up there. Sorcery. Something that, again, Mark Taylor said the other day, Ben Alexander, I hadn't heard that name since I was little. When we had the cornerstone out there in Bozeman that got broke off, I cut my head open on it. But I remember when Ben Alexander came, 80, 82, something like that, came through Bozeman, you remember that? And he talked a lot about the cult and sorcery and things like that. Man, I'll tell you what, you look at how things are going. along today. We may see demon-possessed people in our lifetime in this here United States that we live in. It's possible. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Position gives perspective. You know, normally we could stand up on this little stage here and get a little elevated position. I could climb that ladder there. You know, it would change my perspective a little bit. A little bit of a position changes perspective. Well, God took us to the throne. Seated us with Him in those heavenly places. When He adopted you as sons, He didn't just say, well, you can wear my name and I'll throw you a crust of bread every now and again. Maybe acknowledge you when I walk by, depending on the crowd around. No, He said, you're coming with me. You're going to my place. You're going to stay in my place. And my son here, that's your brother. Raise us with him and seat us in the heavenly places. I want to encourage you guys tonight, and myself too. Don't forget who we are. Don't forget the adoption that we've received as sons. Don't forget the real hero, which is Christ Jesus. Don't forget the real heroes that are named, you know, Hebrews chapter 11. Those guys that lived in caves and holes in the ground. Women received back their dead by way of resurrection. You know, put foreign armies to flight. And those are real heroes. Those things really happened. Not some fictional, animated, computer-generated garbage. Real heroes. See, even in today's society, we separate some of those things because we also call some of our public servants heroes when they do something extraordinary. Save somebody's life physically. Jesus saved all men's life if they're willing to be saved. Every single one of them. That's truly extraordinary. It wasn't just one or two here. Everyone has the opportunity through Jesus.